Welcome to everybody. I would like to get started now. It's high noon and lunch and learn, and so glad to have all of you here. Those who haven't been here before know that you just kind of nibble along with Anne and enjoy your time. We're going to end the program at about 5 to 1, so be sure you get all your questions in before that time. And now to begin with, I'd like to introduce, for those of you who haven't met her, our new pastor, Celeste Lasich, correct?
Lasich.
Lasich.
Yeah, okay.
I thought if Lassie was sick.
Lassie itches.
Oh, Lassie itches.
Yes.
Okay, so the joke on that one is my mom taught 8th grade English for many, many, many years, so she had to introduce herself to, you know, 5 classes of kids, and so she would, because she's older, this wouldn't work in today's children. My name is spelled L-A-S-I-C-H, Lasich, and she would say, just think like the dog Lassie, and Lassie itches, Lasich. But yeah, you have to remember which of the things. So, yeah, who knows? So, let us pray. Holy and gracious God, thank you. You who are the creator of all that is, we give thanks for the glory of your creation, for the wonder that surrounds us, for the miracles of the wildlife. And today, particularly, we are just so grateful to learn more about desert tortoises, this amazing, amazing creature that you created. So we pray your Holy Spirit with us, bless this time and the food and the fellowship and the ways that we gather, knowing that you have made and loved everything. So we pray all this and more in Jesus' name. Amen.
So we welcome Anne here today, and first to sort of our unsung hero. Chris never gets any reward for all the work that he does, so he keeps us visual. And now Anne did write out a little bio, and we've seen her forever in church, and she's just such a part of our congregation, but this is her other life. She received her undergraduate degree at Colorado College in 1987, and her MS in Wildlife Science at the University of Arizona, no surprise there, in 1995. She has worked at a variety of nonprofit, county, state, and federal jobs in the West, all centered around wildlife biology and ecology. She recently currently works for the Utah Division of Wildlife as a desert tortoise biologist, focusing on monitoring, surveying areas prior to development and translocation of displaced animals. And I wish they'd be quieter, so, you know, I mean, I didn't know they'd be so noisy, Anne. But anyway, so Anne McLuckie.
Thank you. Okay, so, well, first of all, I've worked for the division for a number of years. And just recently, we had a field season, a full field season, where we actually go out and we do 106, we walk 160 lines, basically, in the desert, and we count tortoises. And one of our field techs was named Keaton Wood, and he loves tortoises, and he created this video, and I thought it was perfect to start the talk with this, Shellbound 2025 Mojave Odyssey. Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, it's so instinctive to, like, point it there.
Thank you.
Okay, a little drama before we start to talk. So tortoises, I'll be basically talking about the natural history of the Mojave Desert tortoise, and I'll focus on the amazing adaptations that they have evolved with to be able to live in this really kind of inhospitable or very unpredictable desert climate. I do have, so just so you guys know, I have a live tortoise over there, Goliath. And then I have a hatchling over there on the table. And he was actually walking in some developed area. And so he was turned into our office. So we will be releasing him in the reserve. But yeah. And then we do have some shell remain tortoises that is just to the right of the tortoise. And we have posters. If we run out of posters, you can ask to get some, I can get you some additional posters. And then we have some flyers that you can pick up as well. Before I begin, I'd like to talk a little bit about Washington County. Washington County has grown dramatically, as I'm sure many of you are aware. It was the fastest growing county in the United States for a period of time. It was the fastest growing city in the U.S. for several decades. Utah had the distinction of having the highest birth rate in 2023, but also in other previous years. And it's also been the fastest growing state for at least a decade. So that's kind of created this like influx of humans and created potential conflict between tortoises and, of course, development of habitat and so forth. The climate is, we basically have an average rainfall of 8 inches per year. And of course, as you all know, lots of sunny days. And we definitely experience below freezing temperatures in the winter. And then, of course, very hot temperatures in the summer. So whatever animals, native animals, live here have to really be able to tolerate wide fluctuations in temperature. So they have to have really amazing adaptations to allow them not only to be able to tolerate this wide fluctuation in temperature, but also unpredictable and limited rainfall during the year. And so just to emphasize the point of how fast Washington County has grown, you can see, like just between 1980 and 2000, over 80% of growth just in the city of St. George, so pretty incredible. So tortoises have been around for a very long time, basically roughly 230 million years ago during the Triassic period, so they're around with the dinosaurs. Tortoises are native to southwest Utah, so we know that because of petroglyphs and fossils and so on. So sometimes you might hear people say that tortoises have been introduced here, but actually that's kind of an urban legend. They are native to this area. So tortoises, of course, are reptiles. They're in the Reptilia class. And they are in, of course, the order Testudinata, which includes all tortoises and turtles. So you can be accurate and say that tortoises are turtles. And within that order, within that group, there's 14 different families. And tortoises are one family within that order, and they're in the Testudinidae family. And they are they specialize in terrestrial land dwelling, and they have thick elephantile legs and no webbed feet. And of course, their genus name is Gophers agassizii. So gopher, kind of emphasizing how they can dig deep burrows. They have really thick legs that allow them to dig deep burrows in the soil. And agassizii is actually from a naturalist in the late 1800s. So this is the range of the desert tortoise. So when I first started working here, the tortoise, the Sonoran and the Mojave tortoises were actually one species, but they've actually been divided out into two distinct species, the Mojave Desert tortoise, which is native to this area, and it is found in California, Nevada, and Utah, as well as little parts of Arizona north of the Colorado River, and then the Sonoran tortoise, which is in Arizona and parts of Mexico. And this is a close-up of the Mojave Desert tortoise range. You can see it extends all the way up to the northeastern edge of their range extends into southwestern Utah. So one thing, you know, as we know with habitat growth or human growth, et cetera, that has led to habitat loss, degradation, fragmentation. And here's some photos of just rapid development. That's along Snow Canyon Parkway, and that's Paradise Canyon. I don't know if any of you are familiar with that area. But that kind of created kind of tension between conserving habitat as well as, you know, allowing growth within Washington County. So Washington County then pursued a habitat conservation plan, which allowed them to build some areas of tortoise habitat, but in exchange, they would create a protected area called the Red Cliff Desert Reserve. And that's a 62,000-acre protected area that's north of St. George, and north of Hurricane as well as in Ivins. And then the federal lands within that Red Cliff Desert Reserve is protected under the National Conservation Area. So there's actually two National Conservation Areas in southwest Utah. There's the Red Cliff National Conservation Area, and then there's the Beaver Dam Slope National Conservation Area. So now I'll switch gears and talk about really cool desert adaptations. So the first adaptation I want to talk about is hard shell. So tortoises obviously never leave their shells. They're not like hermit crabs. They can't leave their shell and choose another one. They're permanently tied to their shell. And the upper part of the shell is called the carapace, and the bottom is called the plastron. So the shell is really important because it allows them to, it protects them from predators, basically. So really, as an adult tortoise, the only predator they have to worry about is mountain lions, which can actually crack open their shell, humans, as well as a coyote, which could probably chew a leg or something, but doesn't have the jaw width to crack open their shell. And then also the shell helps prevent water loss. So this is actually a picture of a hatchling. And so again, I have that live hatchling over there. But you can see as when a hatchling is born, it basically has what you call these scutes or hatchling plates. And so it has no growth rings at all. It has not grown at all. And just to back up, a female will dig a hole, lay, you know, between 1 and 14 eggs, on average 5, and then cover the eggs and then just walk away. And then 3 months later, the hatchlings emerge, and there's no parental care. And what's really cool about hatchlings is when they emerge from their egg and they get to the surface of the soil, there's actually a yolk sac that's attached to their plastron, and they absorb that into their plastron, into their body, and that kind of gives them an extra boost, you know, when they're first kind of coming into the world and experiencing the world. So that's actually a really important adaptation that allows hatchlings to potentially survive longer. But then as tortoises grow, they actually will grow around each of the edges of their hatchling plates. So you can see there's one growth ring around each of these hatchling plates. And then we'll get to this. There's more additional growth rings around this tortoise. And this is an older adult tortoise. And you can see all the different growth rings. And in the center is that hatchling plate. So, and that allows the tortoise to grow uniformly. And they can, and here are two pictures of really old tortoises. So on the left is a tortoise that, you know, you can see the growth rings, but there's starting to be some wear. And here, this tortoise is so old that all of its growth rings have actually smoothed down, been sanded down. So you can imagine going in and out of those burrows is sanding down. That's a really good question. Unfortunately, no, it's not like tree rings. So tortoises will get a growth ring every time they experience a growth spurt. So one growth ring doesn't necessarily equate to 1 year. It would be super convenient if that was the case, but unfortunately not. So a tortoise, for example, might get 0 growth rings in a really dry year, but could get multiple growth rings in a wet year. Okay, so now I'll switch gears and talk about water adaptations. And as I mentioned before, with only 8 inches of rain falling over an entire year on average, tortoises really have to be able to conserve water to survive. So some of the things they are able to do is they can actually store water in their bladder. So they're kind of the first inventors of the camelback or the bladder bag. I don't know if you guys have used those when you go hiking. So they basically can reabsorb that water in their bladder into their bloodstream, into their body during really dry periods or droughts. And they can store water for several months, so they don't actually have to drink free water in order to survive over the course of the year. But they ultimately need to get water, so they can't survive forever without, you know, freestanding water. And how they do that, you know, if we tried to store our urine for several months, we wouldn't be doing so well. We probably would not survive. Tortoises can do that because they take the toxicity in their urine, like the nitrogen waste, the ammonia, the salts, and they concentrate it into this kind of white, pasty substance, which is called urates, and then they can excrete that separately from their urine. And that allows them to store the water because they're extracting all those kind of toxic minerals in their urine into those urates and excreting them when they need to. And so that's a really amazing adaptation that allows them to survive in an environment where water is unpredictable. That is true. So when we, and I'll actually talk about that later in the talk, but I'll talk about that now because it ties to this. So when we talk to people, we tell them, you know, you can enjoy tortoises from a distance, but don't pick them up, because one of the things they do to kind of scare people away is to pee. And so you basically, you know, if a tortoise is peeing, that's kind of like if you're in the middle of a hike and you just dump your water bottle out and lose all of your water. And so depending upon the season, like for example, if you pick up a tortoise and it loses all its water in the middle of June, that could actually spell the death of the tortoise, because it might not get water for a long time. It's just lost all of its water. There is an exception, which I'll talk about at the end of the talk. Like, for example, if you see a tortoise in the middle of the road, the biggest danger to that tortoise in that particular moment is getting smushed by a car. So you could, in that case, pick up the tortoise, move it safely across the road on the other side of the fence. And tortoises are amazing because they can actually drink water from, like, self-created or naturally created, not self-created, but naturally created water catchments or basins at the bottom of slopes or depressions in rocks. And they have really good spatial memory, so they remember where those are. And they can raise their posterior shell and kind of bend their, you know, head forward to access those puddles. And then they can also channel water. So if it's raining, they can actually channel water from the top of their head to their mouths. And they can absorb water. So in a puddle, they can actually absorb water not only through their nose and their mouth, but through their cloaca. So that's pretty amazing. And they can increase body mass up to 17% from just drinking fresh water. So again, just an amazing adaptation. And actually, I have a couple of slides which show you a tortoise kind of tilting its body forward, trying to get access to all of that water in that puddle. And there's its milk mustache, or in this case, the dirt mustache. So now I'm shifting gears to another amazing adaptation, scaly tough skin. And that helps them to not only minimize water loss, but also survive in an environment where you have a lot of pokey things and sharp rocks and so forth. So here's another photo of a tortoise with very scaly skins on its forelegs, and you can see a little green around the mouth, so it's just eaten something. And tortoises are ectotherms. So what that means is we humans are endotherms, meaning that we spend a lot of energy maintaining our body at a certain temperature. Tortoises use the environment and behavior to regulate their temperature, and they can tolerate a much wider range. So when it gets too hot, they go into a burrow and escape, or avoid those extreme temperatures. And when they need to warm up, they do what we call basking, and that's what this tortoise is doing. So it's pulling out its forelegs and its hind legs and increasing the surface area and heating up using the sun. And so, yeah, so they depend on external sources of body heat and behavior to kind of regulate their temperature. And that allows them to conserve a lot of energy. They don't need to eat as much and so forth. And again, they have those elephantine hind feet and shovel-like forefeet, which allows them to dig deep, deep burrows that are, you know, 10 to 12 feet deep in some cases.
What are those things
that are coming up over there? Oh, the gular. Yeah, so that is actually, that's the gular, that right there. And actually, I'll talk about that in a minute. That males have larger gulars than females. What was your last question? Yes. So turtles or tortoises are herbivores, so they will eat flowers and cactus pads and all sorts of vegetation. So that's what they focus on, is basically vegetation. And so tortoise burrows are really important for tortoises because, like I mentioned, it allows them to escape extreme temperatures, not only super hot temperatures, but cold temperatures, and helps to avoid predation, as well as it protects them from dehydration, because inside a soil burrow, it's more humid relative to the surface, you know, to outside the burrow in the hot desert heat. And they can conserve water and energy when they're in their burrow. And tortoises will hibernate. Well, technically, the term is really not hibernation. It's actually brumation for tortoises. I use hibernation because people kind of know what hibernation is. But technically, the term is brumation. So that means the tortoises will retreat to a winter burrow and stay there for several months. So generally, tortoises will probably go into their burrows around November, December, and then not come out till February or March. It's kind of weather dependent, but. And then they also estivate, which means that during the hot summer times, I actually estivate too, during the hot summer times, they will go into a, you know, like a summer burrow and not come out. They'll just avoid those hot temperatures, and that's what I kind of want to do too, go into my house and not come out. Oh, sure. So you can't really see the tortoise here, but this is the deep cave that a tortoise is using. And there's a tortoise right there under a sandstone slab.
Welcome to everybody. I would like to get started now. It's high noon and lunch and learn, and so glad to have all of you here. Those who haven't been here before know that you just kind of nibble along with Anne and enjoy your time. We're going to end the program at about 5 to 1, so be sure you get all your questions in before that time. And now to begin with, I'd like to introduce, for those of you who haven't met her, our new pastor, Celeste Lasich, correct?
Lasich.
Lasich.
Yeah, okay.
I thought of Lassie was sick.
Lassie
oh, Lassie itches.
Yes.
Okay, so the joke on that one is my mom taught 8th grade English for many, many, many years, so she had to introduce herself to, you know, 5 classes of kids, and so she would, because she's older, this wouldn't work in today's children, my name is spelled L-A-S-I-C-H, Lasich, and she would say, just think like the dog Lassie, and Lassie itches, Lasich. Yeah, you have to remember which of the things. So, yeah, who knows? So, let us pray. Holy and gracious God, thank you. You who are the creator of all that is, we give thanks for the glory of your creation, for the wonder that surrounds us, for the miracles of the wildlife. And today, particularly, we are just so grateful to learn more about desert tortoises, this amazing, amazing creature that you created. So we pray your Holy Spirit with us, bless this time and the food and the fellowship and the ways that we gather, knowing that you have made and loved everything. So we pray all this and more in Jesus' name. Amen.
It's So we welcome Anne here today, and first to sort of our unsung hero. Chris never gets any reward for all the work that he does, so he keeps us visual. And now Anne did write out a little bio, and we've seen her forever in church, and she's just such a part of our congregation. But this is her other life. She received her undergraduate degree at Colorado College in 1987, and her MS in Wildlife Science at the University of Arizona, no surprise there, in 1995. She has worked at a variety of nonprofit, county, state, and federal jobs in the West, all centered around wildlife biology and ecology. She recently works for the, or currently works for the Utah Division of Wildlife as a desert tortoise biologist, featuring or focusing on monitoring, surveying areas prior to development and translocation of displaced animals. And I wish they'd be quieter, so, you know, I mean, I didn't know they'd be so noisy, Anne, but anyway, so Anne McLuckie.
Thank you. Okay, so, well, first of all, I've worked for the division for a number of years. And just recently, we had a field season, a full field season, where we actually go out and we do 106, we walk 160 lines, basically, in the desert, and we count tortoises. And one of our field techs was named Keaton Wood, and he loves tortoises, and he created this video, and I thought it was perfect to start the talk with this, Shellbound 2025 Mojave Odyssey. Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, it's so instinctive to, like, point there. Okay, a little drama before we start a talk. So tortoises, I'll be basically talking about the natural history of the Mojave Desert tortoise, and I'll focus on the amazing adaptations that they have evolved with to be able to live in this really kind of inhospitable or very unpredictable desert climate. I do have, so just so you guys know, I have a live tortoise over there, Goliath. And then I have a hatchling over there on the table. And he was actually he was walking in some developed area. And so and he was turned into our office. So we will be releasing him in the reserve. But yeah. And then we do have some shell remain tortoises that is just to the right of the tortoise. And we have posters. If we run out of posters, you can ask to get some. I can get you some additional posters. And then we have some flyers that you can pick up as well. Before I begin, I'd like to talk a little bit about Washington County. Washington County has grown dramatically, as I'm sure many of you are aware. It was the fastest growing county in the United States for a period of time. It was the fastest growing city in the US for several decades. Utah had the distinction of having the highest birth rate in 2023, but also in other previous years. And it's also been the fastest growing state for at least a decade. So that's kind of created this like influx of humans and created potential conflict between tortoises and, of course, development of habitat and so forth. The climate is, we basically have an average rainfall of 8 inches per year. And of course, as you all know, lots of sunny days. And we definitely experience below freezing temperatures in the winter, and then of course very hot temperatures in the summer. So whatever animals, native animals, live here have to really be able to tolerate wide fluctuations in temperature. So they have to have really amazing adaptations to allow them not only to be able to tolerate this wide fluctuation in temperature, but also unpredictable and limited rainfall during the year. And so just to emphasize the point of how fast Washington County has grown, you can see, like, just between 1980 and 2000, over 80% of growth just in the city of St. George, so pretty incredible. So tortoises have been around for a very long time, basically roughly 230 million years ago during the Triassic period, so they're around with the dinosaurs. Tortoises are native to southwest Utah, and we know that because of petroglyphs and fossils and so on. So we might hear people say that tortoises have been introduced here, but actually that's kind of an urban legend. They are native to this area. So tortoises, of course, are reptiles. They're in the Reptilia class. And they are in, of course, the order Testudinata, which includes all tortoises and turtles. So you can be accurate and say that tortoises are turtles. And within that order, within that group, there's 14 different families. And tortoises are one family within that order, and they're in the Testudinidae family. And they are they specialize in terrestrial land dwelling, and they have thick elephantile legs and no webbed feet. And of course, their genus name is Gophers agassizi. So gopher, kind of emphasizing how they can dig deep burrows. They have really thick legs that allow them to dig deep burrows in the soil. And agassizi is actually from a naturalist in the late 1800s. So this is the range of the desert tortoise. So when I first started working here, the tortoise, the Sonoran and the Mojave tortoises were actually one species, but they've actually been divided out into two distinct species, the Mojave desert tortoise, which is native to this area, and it is found in California, Nevada, and Utah, as well as little parts of Arizona north of the Colorado River, and then the Sonoran tortoise, which is in Arizona and parts of Mexico. And this is a close-up of the Mojave Desert Tortoise Range. You can see it extends all the way up to the northeastern edge of the range extends into southwestern Utah. So one thing, as we know with habitat growth, or human growth, et cetera, that has led to habitat loss, degradation, fragmentation. And here's some photos of just rapid development. That's along Snow Canyon Parkway, and that's Paradise Canyon. I don't know if any of you are familiar with that area, but that kind of created kind of tension between conserving habitat as well as, you know, allowing growth within Washington County. So Washington County then pursued a habitat conservation plan, which allowed them to build some areas of tortoise habitat, but in exchange they would create a protected area called the Red Cliff Desert Reserve. And that's a 62,000-acre protected area that's north of St. George and north of Hurricane as well as in Ivins. And then the federal lands within that Red Cliff Desert Reserve is protected under the National Conservation Area. So there's actually two National Conservation Areas in southwest Utah. There's the Red Cliff National Conservation Area, and then there's the Beaver Dam Slope National Conservation Area. So now I'll switch gears and talk about really cool desert adaptations. So the first adaptation I want to talk about is a hard shell. So tortoises obviously never leave their shells. They're not like hermit crabs. They can't leave their shell and choose another one. They're permanently tied to their shell. And the upper part of the shell is called the carapace, and the bottom is called the plastron. So the shell is really important because it allows them to it protects them from predators, basically. So really, as an adult tortoise, the only predator they have to worry about is mountain lions, which can actually crack open their shell, humans, as well as a coyote, which could probably chew a leg or something, but doesn't have the jaw width to crack open their shell. And then also the shell helps prevent water loss. So this is actually a picture of a hatchling. And so again, I have that live hatchling over there. But you can see as when a hatchling is born, it basically has what you call these scutes or hatchling plates. And so it has no growth rings at all. It has not grown at all. And just to back up, a female will dig a hole, lay between 1 and 14 eggs, on average 5, and then cover the eggs and then just walk away. And then 3 months later, the hatchlings emerge, and there's no parental care. And what's really cool about hatchlings is when they emerge from their egg and they get to the surface of the soil, there's actually a yolk sac that's attached to their plastron, and they absorb that into their body, and that kind of gives them an extra boost, when they're first kind of coming into the world and experiencing the world. So that's actually a really important adaptation that allows hatchlings to potentially survive longer. But then as tortoises grow, they actually will grow around each of the edges of their hatchling plates. So you can see there's one growth ring around each of these hatchling plates. And then we'll get to this. There's more additional growth rings around this tortoise. And this is an older adult tortoise. And you can see all the different growth rings. And in the center is that hatchling plate. So, and that allows the tortoise to grow uniformly. And they can and here are two pictures of really old tortoises. So on the left is a tortoise that, you can see the growth rings, but there's starting to be some wear. And here, this tortoise is so old that all of its growth rings have actually smoothed down, been sanded down. So you can imagine going in and out of those burrows is sanding down. That's a really good question. Unfortunately, no, it's not like tree rings. So tortoises will get a growth ring every time they experience a growth spurt. So one growth ring doesn't necessarily equate to 1 year. It would be super convenient if that was the case, but unfortunately not. So a tortoise, for example, might get 0 growth rings in a really dry year, but could get multiple growth rings in a wet year. Okay, so now I'll switch gears and talk about water adaptations. And as I mentioned before, with only 8 inches of rain falling over an entire year on average, tortoises really have to be able to conserve water to survive. So some of the things they are able to do is they can actually store water in their bladder. So they're kind of the first inventors of the camelback or the bladder bag. I don't know if you guys have used those when you go hiking. So they basically can reabsorb that water in their bladder into their bloodstream, into their body during really dry periods or droughts. And they can store water for several months, so they don't actually have to drink free water in order to survive over the course of the year. But they ultimately do need to get water, so they can't survive forever without, freestanding water. And how they do that, if we tried to store our urine for several months, we wouldn't be doing so well. We probably would not survive. Tortoises can do that because they take the toxicity in their urine, like the nitrogen waste, the ammonia, the salts, and they concentrate it into this kind of white, pasty substance, which is called urates, and then they can excrete that separately from their urine. And that allows them to store the water because they're extracting all those kind of toxic minerals in their urine into those urates and excreting them when they need to. And so that's a really amazing adaptation that allows them to survive in an environment where water is unpredictable.
Just a question related to that. In the past, I've heard that if you see a tortoise like in the road, you shouldn't pick it up because then it'll just lose all the water, the urine.
That is true. So when we, and I'll actually talk about that later in the talk, but no, I'll talk about that now because it ties to this. So when we talk to people, we tell them, you know, you can enjoy tortoises from a distance, but don't pick them up, because one of the things they do to kind of scare people away is to pee. And so you basically, you know, if a tortoise is peeing, that's kind of like if you're in the middle of a hike and you just dump your water bottle out and lose all of your water. And so depending upon the season, like for example, if you pick up a tortoise and it loses all its water in the middle of June, that could actually spell the death of the tortoise, because it might not get water for a long time. And it's just lost all of its water. So there is an exception, which I'll talk about at the end of the talk. Like, for example, if you see a tortoise in the middle of the road, the biggest danger to that tortoise in that particular moment is getting smushed by a car. So you could, in that case, pick up the tortoise, move it safely across the road on the other side of the fence. Yeah. And tortoises are amazing because they can actually drink water from, like, self-created or naturally created, not self-created, but naturally created water catchments or basins at the bottom of slopes or depressions in rocks. And they have really good spatial memory, so they remember where those are. And they can raise their posterior shell and kind of bend their, you know, head forward to access those puddles. And then they can also channel water. So if it's raining, they can actually channel water from the top of their head to their mouths. And they can absorb water. So in a puddle, they can actually absorb water not only through their nose and their mouth, but through their cloaca. So that's pretty amazing. And they can increase body mass up to 17% from just drinking fresh water. So again, just an amazing adaptation. And actually, I have a couple of slides which show you a tortoise kind of tilting its body forward, trying to get access to all of that water in that puddle. And there's its milk mustache, or in this case, the dirt mustache. So now I'm shifting gears to another amazing adaptation, scaly tough skin. And that helps them to not only minimize water loss, but also survive in an environment where you have a lot of pokey things and sharp rocks and so forth. So here's another photo of a tortoise with very scaly skins on its forelegs. And you can see a little green around the mouth, so it's just eaten something. And tortoises are ectotherms. So what that means is we humans are endotherms, meaning that we spend a lot of energy maintaining our body at a certain temperature. Tortoises use the environment and behavior to regulate their temperature, and they can tolerate a much wider range. So when it gets too hot, they go into a burrow and escape or avoid those extreme temperatures. And when they need to warm up, they do what we call basking, and that's what this tortoise is doing. So it's pulling out its forelegs and its hind legs and increasing the surface area and heating up using the sun. And so they depend on external sources of body heat and behavior to kind of regulate their temperature. And that allows them to conserve a lot of energy. They don't need to eat as much and so forth. And again, they have those elephantine hind feet and shovel-like forefeet, which allows them to dig deep, deep burrows that are, you know, 10 to 12 feet deep in some cases.
What are those things kind of coming up?
Oh, the gular. Yeah, so that is actually, that's the gular, that right there. And actually, I'll talk about that in a minute. That males have larger gulars than females.
We've seen tortoises eating wildflowers. Is that what these?
What was your last question?
Yes.
So turtles or tortoises are herbivores, so they will eat flowers and cactus pads and all sorts of vegetation. So that's what they focus on, is basically vegetation. And so tortoise burrows are really important for tortoises because, like I mentioned, it allows them to escape extreme temperatures, not only super hot temperatures, but cold temperatures, and helps to avoid predation, as well as it protects them from dehydration, because inside a soil burrow, it's more humid relative to the surface, to outside the borough in the hot desert heat. And they can conserve water and energy when they're in their burrow. And tortoises will hibernate. Well, technically, the term is really not hibernation. It's actually brumation for tortoises. I use hibernation because people kind of know what hibernation is. But technically, the term is brumation. So that means the tortoises will retreat to a winter burrow and stay there for several months. So generally, tortoises will probably go into their burrows around November, December, and then not come out till February or March. It's kind of weather dependent, but. And then they also estivate, which means that during the hot summer times, I actually estivate too, during the hot summer times, they will go into a, like a summer burrow and not come out. They'll just avoid those hot temperatures. And that's what I kind of want to do too, go into my house and not come out. Oh, sure. So you can't really see the tortoise here, but this is the deep cave that a tortoise is using. And there's a tortoise right there under a sandstone slab.
Welcome to everybody. I would like to get started now. It's high noon and lunch and learn, and so glad to have all of you here. Those who haven't been here before know that you just kind of nibble along with Anne and enjoy your time. We're going to end the program at about 5 to 1, so be sure you get all your questions in before that time. And now to begin with, I'd like to introduce, for those of you who haven't met her, our new pastor, Celeste Lassick, correct?
Lassich.
Lassich.
Yeah, okay.
I thought of Lassie was sick. Oh, Lassie itches. Yes.
Okay, so the joke on that one is my mom taught 8th grade English for many, many, many years, so she had to introduce herself to, 5 classes of kids, and so she would, because she's older, this wouldn't work in today's children, my name is spelled L-A-S-I-C-H, Lassich, and she would say, just think like the dog Lassie, and Lassie itches, Lassich. Yeah, you have to remember which of the things. So, yeah, who knows? So, let us pray. Holy and gracious God, thank you. You who are the creator of all that is, we give thanks for the glory of your creation, for the wonder that surrounds us, for the miracles of the wildlife. And today, particularly, we are just so grateful to learn more about desert tortoises, this amazing, amazing creature that you created. So we pray your Holy Spirit with us, bless this time and the food and the fellowship and the ways that we gather, knowing that you have made and loved everything. So we pray all this and more in Jesus' name. Amen.
So we welcome Anne here today, and first to sort of our unsung hero. Chris never gets any reward for all the work that he does, so he keeps us visual. And now Anne did write out a little bio, and we've seen her forever in church, and she's just such a part of our congregation, but this is her other life. She received her undergraduate degree at Colorado College in 1987, and her MS in Wildlife Science at the University of Arizona, no surprise there, in 1995. She has worked at a variety of nonprofit, county, state, and federal jobs in the West, all centered around wildlife biology and ecology. She recently currently works for the Utah Division of Wildlife as a desert tortoise biologist, focusing on monitoring, surveying areas prior to development and translocation of displaced animals. And I wish they'd be quieter, so, I mean, I didn't know they'd be so noisy, Anne. But anyway, so Anne McLucky.
Thank you. Okay, so, well, first of all, I've worked for the division for a number of years. And just recently, we had a full field season, where we actually go out and we walk 160 lines, basically, in the desert, and we count tortoises. And one of our field techs was named Keaton Wood, and he loves tortoises, and he created this video, and I thought it was perfect to start the talk with this. Shellbound 2025 Mojave Odyssey. Let's see if I can. Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, it's so instinctive to like point it there. Okay, a little drama before we start to talk. So tortoises, I'll be basically talking about the natural history of the Mojave Desert tortoise, and I'll focus on the amazing adaptations that they have evolved with to be able to live in this really kind of inhospitable or very unpredictable desert climate. I do have, so just so you guys know, I have a live tortoise over there, Goliath. And then I have a hatchling over there on the table. And he was actually he was walking in a developed area. And so and he was turned into our office. So we will be releasing him in the reserve. But yeah. And then we do have some shell remain tortoises that is just to the right of the tortoise. And we have posters. If we run out of posters, you can ask to get some. I can get you some additional posters. And then we have some flyers that you can pick up as well. Before I begin, I'd like to talk a little bit about Washington County. Washington County has grown dramatically, as I'm sure many of you are aware. It was the fastest growing county in the United States for a period of time. It was the fastest growing city in the U.S. for several decades. Utah had the distinction of having the highest birth rate in 2023, but also in other previous years. And it's also been the fastest growing state for at least a decade. So that's kind of created this like influx of humans and created potential conflict between tortoises and, of course, development of habitat and so forth. The climate is, we basically have an average rainfall of 8 inches per year. And of course, as you all know, lots of sunny days. And we definitely experience below freezing temperatures in the winter, and then of course, very hot temperatures in the summer. So whatever animals, native animals live here have to really be able to tolerate wide fluctuations in temperature. So they have to have really amazing adaptations to allow them not only to be able to tolerate this wide fluctuation in temperature, but also unpredictable and limited rainfall during the year. And so just to emphasize the point of how fast Washington County has grown, you can see like just between 1980 and 2000, over 80% of growth just in the city of St. George, so pretty incredible. So tortoises have been around for a very long time, basically roughly 230 million years ago during the Triassic period. So they're around with the dinosaurs. Tortoises are native to southwest Utah, so we know that because of petroglyphs and fossils and so on. So sometimes you might hear people say that tortoises have been introduced here, but actually that's kind of an urban legend. They are native to this area. So tortoises, of course, are reptiles. They're in the Reptilia class. And they are in, of course, the order Testudinata, which includes all tortoises and turtles. So you can be accurate and say that tortoises are turtles. And within that order, within that group, there's 14 different families. And tortoises are one family within that order, and they're in the Testudinidae family, and they are they specialize in terrestrial land dwelling, and they have thick elephantile legs and no webbed feet. And of course, the genus name is Gophers agassizei. So gopher, kind of emphasizing how they can dig deep burrows. They have really thick legs that allow them to dig deep burrows in the soil. And agassizei is actually from a naturalist in the late 1800s. So this is the range of the desert tortoise. So when I first started working here, the tortoise, the Sonoran and the Mojave tortoises, were actually one species, but they've actually been divided out into two distinct species, the Mojave desert tortoise, which is native to this area, and it is found in California, Nevada, and Utah, as well as little parts of Arizona north of the Colorado River, and then the Sonoran tortoise, which is in Arizona and parts of Mexico. And this is a close-up of the Mojave Desert Tortoise Range. You can see it extends all the way up to the northeastern edge of the range extends into southwestern Utah. So one thing, you know, as we know with habitat growth or human growth, et cetera, that has led to habitat loss, degradation, fragmentation. And here's some photos of just rapid development. That's along Snow Canyon Parkway, and that's Paradise Canyon. I don't know if any of you are familiar with that area. But that kind of created kind of tension between conserving habitat as well as, you know, allowing growth within Washington County. So Washington County then pursued a habitat conservation plan, which allowed them to build some areas of tortoise habitat, but in exchange, they would create a protected area called the Red Cliff Desert Reserve. And that's a 62,000-acre protected area that's north of St. George and north of Hurricane as well as in Ivins. And then the federal lands within that Red Cliff Desert Reserve is protected under the National Conservation Area. So there's actually two National Conservation Areas in southwest Utah. There's the Red Cliff National Conservation Area, and then there's the Beaver Dam Slope National Conservation Area. So now I'll switch gears and talk about really cool desert adaptations. So the first adaptation I want to talk about is a hard shell. So tortoises obviously never leave their shells. They're not like hermit crabs. They can't leave their shell and choose another one. They're permanently tied to their shell. And the upper part of the shell is called the carapace, and the bottom is called the plastron. So the shell is really important because it allows them to, it protects them from predators, basically. So really, as an adult tortoise, the only predator they have to worry about is mountain lions, which can actually crack open their shell, humans, as well as a coyote, which could probably chew a leg or something, but doesn't have the jaw width to crack open their shell. And then also the shell helps prevent water loss. So this is actually a picture of a hatchling. And so again, I have that live hatchling over there. But you can see as when a hatchling is born, it basically has what you call these scutes or hatchling plates. And so it has no growth rings at all. It has not grown at all. And just to back up, a female will dig a hole, lay, you know, between 1 and 14 eggs, on average 5, and then cover the eggs and then just walk away. And then 3 months later, the hatchlings emerge, and there's no parental care. And what's really cool about hatchlings is when they emerge from their egg and they get to the surface of the soil, there's actually a yolk sac that's attached to their plastron, and they absorb that into their plastron, into their body, and that kind of gives them an extra boost, you know, when they're first kind of coming into the world and experiencing the world. So that's actually a really important adaptation that allows hatchlings to potentially survive longer. But then as tortoises grow, they actually will grow around each of the edges of their hatchling plates. So you can see there's one growth ring around each of these hatchling plates, And then we'll get to this. There's more additional growth rings around this tortoise. And this is an older adult tortoise, and you can see all the different growth rings. And in the center is that hatchling plate. So, and that allows the tortoise to grow uniformly. And they can, so, and here are two pictures of really old tortoises. So on the left is a tortoise that, you know, you can see the growth rings, but there's starting to be some wear. And here, this tortoise is so old that all of its growth rings have actually smoothed down, been sanded down. So you can imagine going in and out of those burrows is sanding down. That's a really good question. Unfortunately, no, it's not like tree rings. So tortoises will get a growth ring every time they experience a growth spurt. So one growth ring doesn't necessarily equate to 1 year. It would be super convenient if that was the case, but unfortunately not. So a tortoise, for example, might get zero growth rings in a really dry year, but could get multiple growth rings in a wet year. Okay, so now I'll switch gears and talk about water adaptations. And as I mentioned before, with only 8 inches of rain falling over an entire year on average, tortoises really have to be able to conserve water to survive. So some of the things they are able to do is they can actually store water in their bladder. So they're kind of the first inventors of the camelback or the bladder bag. I don't know if you guys have used those when you go hiking. So they basically can reabsorb that water in their bladder into their bloodstream, into their body during really dry periods or droughts. And they can store water for several months, so they don't actually have to drink free water in order to survive over the course of the year. But they ultimately need to get water, so they can't survive forever without, you know, freestanding water. And how they do that, you know, if we tried to store our urine for several months, we wouldn't be doing so well. We probably would not survive. Tortoises can do that because they take the toxicity in their urine, like the nitrogen waste, the ammonia, the salts, and they concentrate it into this kind of white, pasty substance, which is called urates, and then they can excrete that separately from their urine. And that allows them to store the water because they're extracting all those kind of toxic minerals in their urine into those urates and excreting them when they need to. And so that's a really amazing adaptation that allows them to survive in an environment where water is unpredictable.
Just a question related to that. In the past, I've heard that if you see a tortoise like in the road, you shouldn't pick it up because then it'll just lose all the water, the urine.
That is true. So when we, and I'll actually talk about that later in the talk, but I'll talk about that now because it ties to this. So when we talk to people, we tell them, you know, you can enjoy tortoises from a distance, but don't pick them up because one of the things they do to kind of scare people away is to pee. And so you basically, you know, if a tortoise is peeing, that's kind of like if you're in the middle of a hike and you just dump your water bottle out and lose all of your water. And so depending upon the season, like for example, if you pick up a tortoise and it loses all its water in the middle of June, that could actually spell the death of the tortoise because it might not get water for a long time. And it's just lost all of its water. So there is an exception, which I'll talk about at the end of the talk. Like, for example, if you see a tortoise in the middle of the road, the biggest danger to that tortoise in that particular moment is getting smushed by a car. So you could, in that case, pick up the tortoise, move it safely across the road on the other side of the fence. Yeah. And tortoises are amazing because they can actually drink water from, like, self-created or naturally created, not self-created, but naturally created water catchments or basins at the bottom of slopes or depressions in rocks. And they have really good spatial memory, so they remember where those are. And they can raise their posterior shell and kind of bend their, you know, head forward to access those puddles. And then they can also channel water. So if it's raining, they can actually channel water from the top of their head to their mouths. And they can absorb water. So in a puddle, they can actually absorb water not only through their nose and their mouth, but through their cloaca. So that's pretty amazing. And they can increase body mass up to 17% from just drinking fresh water. So again, just an amazing adaptation. And actually, I have a couple of slides which show you a tortoise kind of tilting its body forward, trying to get access to that all of that water in that puddle. And there's its milk mustache, or in this case, the dirt mustache. So now I'm shifting gears to another amazing adaptation, scaly tough skin. And that helps them to not only minimize water loss, but also survive in an environment where you have a lot of pokey things and sharp rocks and so forth. So here's another photo of a tortoise with very scaly skins on its forelegs. And you can see a little green around the mouth, so it's just eaten something. And tortoises are ectotherms. So what that means is we humans are endotherms, meaning that we spend a lot of energy maintaining our body at a certain temperature. Tortoises use the environment and behavior to regulate their temperature. And they can tolerate a much wider range. So when it gets too hot, they go into a burrow and escape or avoid those extreme temperatures. And when they need to warm up, they do what we call basking, and that's what this tortoise is doing. So it's pulling out its forelegs and its hind legs and increasing the surface area and heating up using the sun. And so, yeah, so they depend on external sources of body heat and behavior to kind of regulate their temperature. And that allows them to conserve a lot of energy. They don't need to eat as much and so forth. And again, they have those elephantine hind feet and shovel-like forefeet, which allows them to dig deep, deep burrows that are, you know, 10 to 12 feet deep in some cases. Oh, the gular. Yeah, so that is actually, that's the gular, that right there. And actually, I'll talk about that in a minute. That males have larger gulars than females. What was your last question? Yeah. Yes. So turtles or tortoises are herbivores, so they will eat flowers and cactus pads and all sorts of vegetation. So that's what they focus on, is basically vegetation. And so tortoise burrows are really important for tortoises because, like I mentioned, it allows them to escape extreme temperatures, not only super hot temperatures, but cold temperatures, and helps to avoid predation, as well as it protects them from dehydration, because inside a soil burrow, it's more humid relative to the surface, you know, to outside the burrow in the hot desert heat. And they can conserve water and energy when they're in their burrow. And tortoises will hibernate. Well, technically, the term is really not hibernation. It's actually brumation for tortoises. I use hibernation because people kind of know what hibernation is. But technically, the term is brumation. So that means the tortoises will retreat to a winter burrow and stay there for several months. So generally, tortoises will probably go into their burrows around November, December, and then not come out till February or March. It's kind of weather dependent, but. And then they also estivate, which means that during the hot summer times, I actually estivate too, during the hot summer times, they will go into a, you know, like a summer burrow and not come out. They'll just avoid those hot temperatures, and that's what I kind of want to do too, go into my house and not come out. Oh, sure. So you can't really see the tortoise here, but this is the deep cave that a tortoise is using. And there's a tortoise right there under a sandstone slab.